Gaza are warning many could die in hospitals after Palestinians were warned to move south ahead of an expected Israeli ground offensive of the area. Anthony Blinken's been speaking in Cairo following a tour through Arab nations.
I had very good conversations with the Crown Prince in Saudi Arabia and here in Egypt with President al-Sisi. Practical ideas on getting assistance to Palestinians in Gaza who are in need, but also important conversations about the future and where we hope ultimately together we can bring this.
Hundreds of people have gathered at a vigil in central London to commemorate Israeli victims of the Hamas attack. Many are holding posters saying bring them home, and the name and faces of hostages captured are being handed to those attending. Scotland's First Minister's rejecting calls for the SNP to need more than half of all votes cast north of the border in the next general election to start independence negotiations. Hamza Yousaf insists this approach will see the party setting ourselves a bar no other sets itself. In sport, England are through to the semi-finals of the Rugby World Cup. They edged Fiji 30-24 in Marseille, thanks to first-half tries from Manu Tuilagi and Joe Marchant. Cricket in England suffered their first-ever defeat to Afghanistan, as their Cricket World Cup hopes now hang by a thread. The defending champions were beaten by 69 runs in Delhi, making it two defeats from three games. Captain Joss Butler says it's a disappointing result.
Throughout the game, with the ball and with the bat, not at the level that we wanted to be. Consistently enough. So I think that's the main areas where we lost the game.
And finally, a points failure has caused severe disruption for passengers at London's Euston station. The issue, which was reported this morning, led to no trains entering or leaving the station for several hours. Lines have now reopened. That's the latest. I'm Chris Milligan.
This is Phoenix FM.
Applied, but only one person got through. DJ Nigel. It's time to face the music.
The best soul, funk, and disco on a Sunday night in Essex.
From a studio somewhere far, far away, you find the best soul, funk, and boogie. Here is the man himself, Nigel Fitzmaurice.
Nigel is a legend.
Hello, good evening and welcome. Many thanks to Natalie and Spencer and all the people to do with the drive show today. And of course, before that, it was Vicky Michelle. Hello, hello, how are you? And before that, Tony Smith. And before that, the rest of the Sunday team. But right now, we're stepping out with Nigel on a Sunday night. The best soul funk disco, but we've got some really, really good chat going on as well. All about that in just a moment. It's going to be very, very exciting, believe me. And we're going to be talking about mental health and people that have been involved in it as well. And Kirsty Moore will be here, just like she always is, to help us along on a Sunday.
Oh, Rachel, what's occurring?
Well, I'm in my chair now. I'm quite comfy and we're doing all right. Yes, we are. 7 minutes past 6 o'clock tonight. So we have Paul Knight and Elaine Knight in the studio with us as well, and Kirsty Moore. Kirsty may ask some questions as well. She might jump in, you know, because she's very good at it. And she is a, well, she's a fighter, this lady. She's a right fighter. So anyway, so we'll have some of that as well going on. And we're going to be talking about mental health and visits to Broadmoor and so on as we go through the show. Probably about 20 past we'll be making a start. We've got some nice music lined up for you as well, from Blondie to Fleetwood Mac, from Coldplay and so on. And also some of the usual tracks as well. Plus we've got a request in from Earth, Wind & Fire from a lady. And also a track from Stevie Wonder as well. And that's going out to Mandy a bit later on, from, of course, Lisa. So that's all coming on as well. Very good evening to me, Lisa, as well. And let's just carry on. There we are. Oh, you like what? Do you like that?
That t-shirt.
My t-shirt, yeah. If you haven't seen my t-shirt, it's on my profile now. Hey, it's called The Blind Beggar. And on the back it says, "Do not arrest this person." See? So learn, right?
The point of no return.
This is Imagination and In and Out of Love. Jewelers on the way, and then we'll get going.
Yeah.
That's one of them tracks that if you weren't very, you know, very, very quick and all that, you get caught with your trousers around your ankles, you would. That's Imagination and In and Out of Love. Wow. Sunday evening, midnight. It's just 11 minutes past 6 right now, and you're stepping out with me. Paul Knight and Elaine Knight's coming up very soon. We're talking about mental health and a whole lot more. Very important stuff nowadays. And this is going to be very, very, very informative and a very, very good listen indeed, with music in between, of course.
Soul and funk on the radio.
Phoenix FM.
Oh, I tell you what, that Kirsty's great. She's absolutely, she's got the job. What are you doing every Sunday now? Well, just very quickly, hello. But here we are. So, Mandy, I'm out the fields still with the dogs, but I'm tuned in. Nigel, stay on in between cooking dinner when I get back. Okay, chat to you later then, Mandy. Just a little while, we've got a very nice song for you coming up. Lisa Martin is tuned in as well, all listening from Paul in Dorset. Very nice indeed down there. And, of course, David and Donna and all the girls up there in Scarborough as well. They are tuned in. That's good. And anyone else, let me know that you're listening. nice bit of the Jewelers from Romford. And then we are flying into having a lovely chat with some wonderful people tonight. With music in between, of course, because that's what we do. Phoenix 98 FM interview mode with Nye. Your kiss is on my lips. It's the Jewelers. They are, yeah. Mentioned great teams like Crystal Palace, my lovers. That might be while I sing along, because I know I can't sing. Simon says no, but anyway, so we are okay. We are rocking tonight, right? So in the studio with me tonight, we have Paul Knight and Elaine Knight.
Nice to be here, Nigel.
Hold on a minute, mate. Just hold on. That's an eager beaver. Excellent. That's what I like. Right, there we are then. So that's the Jewelers and Kiss on My Lips. And Paul, good evening and welcome to Phoenix FM.
Thank you.
And to you as well, Elaine. Yeah.
Thank you very
much.
You
got a very nice spelling of your name. What's that?
It's originally with a Y, but I changed it to an... Sorry, it's originally with an I, but I changed it to a Y.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's all right, isn't it? Yeah, and I was just wondering where it came from when it was yourself. So that's really good. So now, Paul's here this evening One of Paul's friends and one of my friends got in touch and said, you know, you really need to talk to this guy. He's got an interesting story. Now, over the years, Paul's had what you would call an up and down lifestyle. Very, very difficult lifestyle in the early years. And then he sort of, if you like, a dysfunctional childhood, if you like, with behaviour disorders and things like that. Even told by a teacher, which probably didn't do any good to anybody, you're going to be stabbed one day. You're going to be this. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
That probably didn't help you, did
it? I was about 10 years old at the time.
Blimey. And so how did that make you feel at the time?
Well, I was taken out of school by my mum, and I mean, my mum wasn't, back then in the early 80s, like, yeah, the ADHD wasn't really heard of. It was like naughty boy syndrome.
Yeah,
you know?
I totally agree with that one. Yeah, and so that was a sensible move to move you out.
Well, yeah, I left there, but then I ended up doing about 3 different secondary schools in 3 years.
Uh-huh.
Where my mum kept on moving about all the time.
Right, okay. How did
mainly
that make
due
you?
To rent and rears.
Yeah, yeah, but that's at the time, that's probably life as well. But what you've got there is a change, and then another change, and then another change. So there's no,
yeah, constantly
there's
changing.
There's no,
you know,
stability there, is there,
no,
really?
No, no stability. You know.
So, and then, so I guess your life started to change a little bit around about the age of 18, really.
It did, yeah. I ended up getting stabbed in a fight after the pub.
Right, okay.
And, which wasn't actually my fight, but I was helping out a friend, and
yeah,
I ended up getting stabbed in the back.
Right, okay.
And then that led me into being sentenced at the Old Bailey to 3 years youth custody.
And that was because...
And that was my first, beginning of...
So... Just before that, the Old Bailey, the person that stabbed you.
Yeah, I found out where they lived. Instead of going to the police, maybe that's what I should have done.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's what anybody sensible would have done, but.
Rational thinking.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I ended up taking revenge.
Right, okay. Now, was that person arrested for stabbing you as well?
They weren't, no.
They weren't. Unbelievable. So that's a way back in time. So that's another knock for you and the system and everything else. So you went to the Old Bailey, so what happened there?
I ended up getting 3 years youth custody.
Right, okay. Where did you go for that one?
I went to Warren Hill.
Okay, yeah.
And Suffolk.
In Suffolk. How did you find there?
First of all, I went to Felton.
Yeah.
For 3 weeks.
Yeah. I bet that was an eye-opener, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was only, as I say, I was 18.
Yeah.
First time I'd been in proper real trouble.
Yeah.
You know, I'd been charged with shoplifting and...
Things like that.
And things like that, yeah. But my main thing was to do with, mostly with fighting, physical.
Yeah.
You know? Alterations with people.
Yep. Were they people looking to have a go at you, or the other way around, or was it sort of
a bit of both,
really? Yeah. And then,
I'm not saying I'm an angel.
No, none of us are. Let's be fair, eh? Now, let's be fair on this as well. And at the time of the stabbing, this is where Elaine got to sort of know about you a little bit.
Yeah, that's the first time I actually set eyes on Paul. I just moved to Barking with my mum.
Rightio.
And there was a bit of noise, and I looked over the balcony, and I saw Paul getting stabbed.
Well.
But I didn't know him, and I'd never seen him before.
No. And then, obviously...
Turns out to be my wife.
Turn out to be a wife. So when, so after that, okay, well, yeah, we'll come back to that in a minute, because it's a love story. This is an amazing love story. Now, so from that moment onwards, so Feltham and then everything else, what turned around there then for you? What happened after Feltham?
Well,
and that?
I believe that I probably had some mental illness at the time,
right,
mm-hmm, when I was younger.
Yep.
Just undiagnosed.
Yep. So was that the...
It wasn't... I was put on medication when I was in prison.
Yeah.
But without a diagnosis.
Right. So, So, the medication...
Like antipsychotic medication.
Right, yeah, unbelievable. So, was there a slight possibility there that it was schizophrenia at the time, or anything like that?
I never even heard of the word schizophrenia at the time.
Right, mm-hmm.
That was a bit later on, about 4 years later.
Yep, mm-hmm. So,
I had my first major breakdown.
Yep, now that breakdown that you had...
sectioned.
Yeah, and then you went to, straight after that, and this is where it gets really, really interesting, in a way, you went to Broadmoor.
Yeah, I did, that wasn't at that particular time.
Yeah.
I was put into mental health services after having my mental health breakdown and diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Yep.
And I was in and out of hospitals for about 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And in 2002, I went into a low secure unit for a 3-day respite.
Yeah.
No crime.
No.
And I become unmanageable there, and they moved me to a medium secure unit in York.
York, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then from there, unmanageable there, and I was there for about 8 weeks, and they moved me at Broadmoor. And
right. With that, being unmanageable, what does that mean?
They couldn't control me.
Right, so you wanted to fight people, or...?
Yeah, I was just, I was out of my mind, yeah.
Yeah, or just generally...
Not in the right frame of mind.
Yeah, lose your rag, and in a completely dark place,
and
really.
Really, what they should have done was put me on to an intensive care ward.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They just got me assessed for Broadmoor.
Yeah.
And, that was it. I was off.
So Broadmoor, let's get this right. Broadmoor, for yourself, it was not a criminal situation.
No.
So you was in there.
I didn't even think that I'd be going. I thought to myself that these people weren't even going to take me because I ain't got a crime.
No.
They take people like Peter Sutcliffe.
Yeah, which you saw there.
Yeah, I've seen him, yeah.
Yeah, and a few of the other names that you mentioned earlier, which we won't. But yeah, so, now, that must have been very, very daunting for you. Moving pillar to post, your life has been up there,
chaotic,
down there, up there, down there.
Yeah,
and that must
chaos.
Be absolutely, well, life changing for anyone at that time. You just don't know what's going to happen for you next, do you?
No, I didn't, and I was put on different types of medication, all antipsychotic, but it's all trial and error.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's no specific medication for schizophrenia.
No.
It's just sort of like a trial and error of all different types.
Yeah.
I must have probably... I've probably been on, over the years, about 20 different medications.
Yeah. So now, moving on, when did you meet Elaine again?
So we met up in 2013.
So that was... when did you go in there?
I come out in 2012.
2012, that's right. And then
went in 2002.
So that's quite a long time before you got together. So how did that happen then? This is interesting as well.
I found Paul on Facebook.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old Facebook.
Hey, it's got its use, isn't it? It's not all about attacking people or anything like that, is it? Like certain people do it first thing in the morning. No names mentioned. Talk to you later. Right, so yeah, now, so obviously you met that way.
Yeah, that's how we met and formed a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was institutionalised as well though at the time.
Right.
So I did find it hard to bond, first of all.
Well, you will do. That's like anything, isn't it, you know? Because you're used to the institution, you're used to what's going on around you, and the same faces every day.
Every day, yeah.
So you're not...
Can I ask a question, Nigel?
Yeah, go on.
You said that you went to the Old Bailey at, 18?
18, yeah.
So up until that point, had you been diagnosed...
I wasn't diagnosed, with nothing, no.
So did that...
I mean, now I probably would have been diagnosed from an early age.
So did you enter
with some form or another? With no diagnosis, yeah.
Right. And you mentioned your mum. Was your dad anywhere?
My dad was a married man.
Oh, right, okay.
It's all so in the book. It's all going in the book.
Yeah,
the book. The book we're talking about in a little while, because this is going to be an exciting book as well.
I just thought it would be interesting, because obviously you went on to talk about mental health.
Yeah.
I was just wondering.
It hasn't just come about.
Yeah, so when you
been there all my life.
The Bailey first entered into the prison system, at that point you hadn't been diagnosed.
No diagnosis.
So did that diagnosis come with the prison, or was that after?
No, I was put on medication in the prison, and it's psychotic medication, but still no diagnosis.
Right, okay.
It wasn't until later on, about 4 years later, from being out, that I had my first proper breakdown.
Right. So that was out here?
Out here in the community, yeah. And then I was given a diagnosis of schizophrenia.
Right, okay.
Or hearing voices and hallucinating.
Right, right.
Okay. Paranoia.
Yeah. And they said that when you were in prison, they...
yeah, they medicated me, yeah. Because I was getting violent.
Right.
And so that what you said you was at one of the local institutions like Goodmayes and all that, was you there?
Yeah, I've been to Goodmayes, yeah. Claybury Hospital was my first admission. That was back in the early 90s.
Yeah, that was good.
That's when they had sort of like gas fires.
Yeah, not there now, is it?
You know?
It's not there now, is it?
Gas fires, can you believe that?
Yeah, blimey. So, moving... Thanks for that, Kirsty. No doubt you can, if
good
you want
question.
To jump in. You can jump in when you
That's
like.
That's an interesting question, because when I'm sitting there thinking, well, you went into a system.
I went in there, but no, I wasn't.
You went into a system with a system.
But not in a system, so it's in
with
out.
With a diagnosis.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Maybe it would have helped.
It would have helped you.
It would have helped
and
a lot. They would have understood me a bit better.
Well, yeah, that was what I was thinking. Yeah.
Now, let's talk to Elaine a minute, because when you re-met, you were still institutionalised then.
I was, yeah.
So when you came out, you had a team around you sort of thing, and also some help for yourself as well.
So when Paul first moved in with me,
yeah.
There was a big team, a forensic psychiatrist, a CPN, a doctor.
As a community psychiatric nurse.
Yep.
And like they done weekly visits, like twice a week.
Social worker.
My house was red lighted, which means I wouldn't usually get just if something happened, I wouldn't get a normal police car. I'd
get
a riot van.
A task police, yeah.
Thankfully, like I've never had to call the police.
No.
All my neighbours have called the police. So
no. Well, there you are now. Fair play to you, because that's a strength, huge amount of strength there.
Yeah, I mean, being a family man,
yeah,
it's a good feeling.
Yeah, I bet. And that's because that's something that you probably did but didn't feel too much, because in the early years, as we said earlier, you didn't really have that. It was a bit dysfunctional.
I've got two biological children of my own, but I don't see them.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. But then you moved into a sort of a family situation.
Yeah,
now,
a family situation.
And
yeah.
Now that's made you a lot happier, hasn't it?
Yeah. We do all right. We're a good team.
Yeah. And Elaine, what a star. What an absolute star. Elaine...
She understands me as well, right?
Yeah.
You know,
I was sat here for a little while when you came in the studio earlier and chatted to you, and obviously now, huge understanding for you.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like me being a kindred spirit or what. I don't really know. No, seriously, you know.
Yeah.
Kirsty, no. But at the end of the day, I am 100% behind you, because what you're doing is amazing. I want to talk to you both about the powers and the help and what mental health means, and obviously we're going to talk about your book as well, and we'll come back and talk a little bit beforehand a bit more about yourself and you as well, Elaine, because you are a double act and a dream team. Yeah, so we're going to play Blondie and Atomic. Alright, yeah?
Yep, lovely.
Super.
That's great.
We are Atomic. We are Phoenix 98 FM on a Sunday night. It is just approaching 20 minutes to 7 o'clock right now. Just to give you an outline on Paul, okay? So in this is from his Facebook page, okay? It's February 2002. I was in a low security unit in Somerset after moving there from Essex earlier that year for a 3-day, as he said, respite, if you like. And then in November 2002, I was taken from a medical security subcategory unit in York on a Section 3, a mental health act, and can, which means they can detain you against your will, and was transported by a secure vehicle to Broadmoor Hospital in Berkshire. And I hadn't committed any criminal offences at all, and it was deemed just basically unmanageable. I spent the next 10 years at the hospital and so on. So that is an outline of it all, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Amazing. I want to read that because that's on your Facebook. So Paul Knight, P-A-U-L, and K-N-I-G-H-T, Paul Knight. Look him up if you want to be a friend, please ask. And Elaine spells her name E-L-A-Y-N-E. Yeah? Come a bit closer to the microphone. She's got a message.
Also got an Instagram page as well, Paul Knight 292.
Excellent, because I can't use Instagram. I ain't got a clue.
No.
I can do this, but I can't do that. So, and of course, you're on Facebook as well,
yes.
Elaine. Just come a bit closer to the microphone. Lisa just messaged me saying you're not close enough to the mic.
Oh, okay, sorry.
That'll do. That'll fantastic. Is that all right, Lisa? Please do let me know. Thank you very much. That's what listeners are all about. So this is Paul. Let me introduce myself. I was born in East London in 1972. To a dysfunctional one-parent family. I have two young brothers and two children that I don't have contact with. Okay? Has a lovely wife now, of course, three stepchildren, and I live in East London. There we are, you see? So that's all good. Now. How are you feeling now, after we've played a record and had a chat and everything else? You all good?
Good.
All good, yeah.
Okay. Elaine, how can you describe what journey you've had with Paul, apart from a loving story, really? Oh, I feel.
My journey has been quite emotional.
Yeah.
Like a big learning curve.
Uh-huh.
Also, I've had a lot of support from mental health, so yeah. I have a great understanding of mental health.
Yeah.
How services work,
mm-hmm.
the good and the bad.
Yeah. Do you think that the mental health system now is? This is my personal view, and I shouldn't really. It's only a personal view, this, everybody. So please don't take this the wrong way. But now, a child at school, a little bit difficult, a little bit not, you know. They could put that down now as ADHD. And this, my personal view is now, any child, slight misbehaviour, ADHD, straight away. And that's why the ADHD system, I feel now, is overloaded, because it's straight away tarnish that person with that. Do you agree with me on that?
I do.
Yeah?
I do.
Because I was a rat bag at school.
Years ago, you used to be sort of like naughty boy syndrome.
Yeah, I know. I mean, my first day ever at school, I was back home by 9:15, I didn't want to be there. Age of five, you know, I'm not proud of it, but hey ho, that was me. A lot more behind all that, but anyway, so naughty boy, yeah, that's exactly what it is now, but I don't call it that now. And then you've got all these conversations going on in the news now about ADHD medication. Well, if they're shoving it out here, there, and everywhere, it's not going to be available, is it?
No, that's right.
They do have an issue with discipline in schools now, don't they?
Discipline's no good.
Discipline is non-existent.
No, it's not. Yeah, exactly. When I was at school,
not allowed to, are they?
No, that's
yeah.
Just what I'm saying. They're not allowed to discipline.
When I was at school, I got the cane.
Well, there you go.
It's brought me on to, you know, like, but yeah, seriously, yeah. But that's how it was in them days.
Oh.
Yeah? You're 10 years younger than me, but, when I was at school, that's what you got. And half the time, it's, yeah, nice one. Flipping out though, but But you know, but that was a deterrent then.
Yeah, it's a bit of both, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't figure out which one it is because you just get labelled.
But nowadays, people just pull a knife out or whatever at school and don't give a damn. Yeah. You have security.
Yeah,
you have security in schools now. What's that all about?
Exactly.
You know,
metal detectors.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, I've got my own views on knife crime, and I just think knife crime is abysmal. And a lot of our friends are exactly the same, Mr. Ellis and so on and what have you. So your big understanding of all that, do you or have you had mental health help yourself?
No.
See, there you are. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is.
So that's huge strength, isn't it?
Yes.
So when you got to...
She's the same one.
See, well, what are you then? What are you then? You're not. You're like the River Thames. The tide comes in, goes out.
No,
you're. Listen, you're sane, all right? Yeah, definitely.
No.
So you know. So you. Well, it's amazing. So when
you read, it's like you're the backbone of Paul. We've been talking earlier, and I think without you,
she is. She is.
I get it. I can feel it between the two of you.
We are each other's rocks. There has been a time in my our relationship where I have had some run-ins with my son's father.
Right.
And, you know, obviously that's quite bad.
Yeah.
And Paul's been my rock there.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I think we balance each other out when needed.
Yeah. Personally, I feel, in my personal circumstances, I've got the same.
Yeah.
Because I've been the right hand for as well over the last 3 years with the PTSD and everything I've got now. However, I was a handful when I was younger. But now I'm happy. I've got a rock exactly the same. You know, this lady over here, you probably haven't got a rock at the minute, but, you know, you Kirsty. But, you know, Kirsty's a fighter as well.
I can just see that. Like, from my own experiences with the system, I mean, it's nothing... I can't even compare it to your experiences with the system. Like, just knowing how the system knocks you down all the time. So while you were obviously fighting your...
Yeah, I was fighting to try and get out.
Standing behind him, fighting it out here. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, it's just lovely.
Now, I've got a couple of messages just quickly come in here. Nisa says, I can hear good now. There we are. Thank you very much, Nisa. Don't tell no one, all right? Thank you, Lisa. We'll talk to you in a little while as well. Victoria Antoinette. Hello, Victoria. All the way from East London. She's listening in as well. Hello to you. Lisa, you will be coming to visit me on the 5th. In the studio with a West Ham member from the West Ham Food Bank. So that's coming up on the 5th. I'll tell you the rest of the appointments that I've got coming up very soon. It's getting very exciting now. I do like playing music as well, but all these sort of things do happen very nicely as well. And then people remember, Nigel, I'm just telling you, I'm coming in Sunday. I don't know where that's come from.
I was just going to ask one question, Nigel, don't I?
Yes.
I think other people might want to know the answer as well.
Go on, then.
You mentioned Broadmoor.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, we know that it's a notorious prison or facility.
You mean the high-profile people?
Yeah. Well, no, just
high-profile patients.
Just a picture in your head. Elaine, did you know Paul when he was in Broadmoor?
No, I lost contact with Paul in 1993. But
yeah,
he did appear in there was a thing in the News of the World. There was a mix-up between...
There was two Paul Knights. There's me, no crime.
Yeah.
And there's another Paul Knight who's a double-stabbing murderer.
Right.
The thing is, I got involved in an incident with staff, and it was in the News of the World... And it had a picture of a man doing a Nazi salute behind a swastika.
Right.
It wasn't the other Paul Knight.
Yeah.
It weren't me. So I got straight on to my solicitor, telling them this, I want to pursue a claim
in
the News of the World.
Yeah.
And my solicitor was not on the ball at all. So I got nothing, and the other pool nine got a £5,000 check.
Oh.
And it was sent to me. It come through the postal internal postal monitors, and it come to me, and with solicitor's letters, they don't open them. So I'm opening it, and a £5,000 check saying from a solicitor. I'm thinking, who's this? And all I could do with it, I just had to hand it in. I didn't even get a thank you or nothing.
Didn't cash it then? Oh, flippy.
If I could have, I would have.
No, I'll tell you what, the systems in them days wouldn't have backed that up. That would have been blinding. Hey, you'd have been a millionaire in them days, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But I was going to ask Elaine, as a woman, if she didn't know Paul when he was in Broadmoor, how did she feel when she found out Paul had been to Broadmoor?
Well, I used to see Paul's brother around and about, and I would say, oh, how's the family? And he'd say, yeah, Paul's in Broadmoor, he's doing fine, and that's it, no more conversation. But I'm not Paul was quite, we talk about it now, if 30 years ago would we have been together still today if we got together? And I
probably
was like,
not.
No, because no. Paul was uncontrollable.
So in a way you've held everything together. You are each other's rocks.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like, due respect to both of you.
Yeah, that's very plain to see.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So,
well, we said in the break, said it's more of a love story.
This is it.
Didn't we?
Over the years, I've been over medicated as well before, you know.
So now you're looked after?
Yeah. I'm on the right amount of medication and the right medication.
So do you, it's probably a hard question, but do you ever get the moments when you just think, I'm just about going to lose it? Does it happen often or not at all now?
Not for the last 2 years.
Fantastic. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Yeah? Because that is, well, that's amazing, isn't it? Yeah? When you got someone like that,
doesn't it just go to show how they got it wrong, though?
Oh, don't.
The system, how the system got it wrong. So
definitely,
how
yeah.
How many years?
Well, I spent, as I say, I spent all that time in Broadmoor because they couldn't manage me in a low secure or a medium security. But then, really, maybe they should just put me on a different ward, a high dependency ward, an intensive care ward.
Well, for me, Paul, you did all that.
Because I spent.
You did
I spent
all those years
a lot
in those institutions, and you weren't diagnosed properly.
No.
Yet you sit here today in a radio studio.
I know. Yeah.
So do you get any resentment for those lost years?
I don't. I try not to.
Yeah, because that's a big special life thing too.
Yeah, I know. The only way I can deal with it is what I'm doing, and
just
that's
stay focused on the future.
Stay focused. Write my book, because I'm doing and writing that myself. No ghostwriter.
Yeah.
It's all coming from me.
Yeah. Have you done anything else like this before?
Never.
So this is the first time you're telling your story?
Yeah. He did actually have
I was on an Amazon Prime documentary for it's called Broken Knuckles, about bare knuckle boxing. Because when I came out, I got into bare knuckle boxing. And I had 4 fights, lost 3 because I'm not very good, and won 1. But
that's how you come to know Dave Courtney.
Yeah, that's how I know Dave. Yeah,
yeah. And then you got married at Camelot Castle.
Well, we got married in Woolley's Town Hall.
Yeah,
Royal Borough, isn't it?
Royal Borough. Yes, indeed, it is. Yes,
got to get married in a Royal Borough. Yeah, and Dave let us use his club at the back of his house.
Yeah, that's
for a
interesting.
Party afterwards.
Yeah, I heard about this place many times.
Yeah, Dave's all right. He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, I think I bumped into him once before.
He's good as gold. Yeah, he was a busy man. Let's just talk about that bare knuckle boxing. I know Andy Howarth, he's mentioned me earlier on, he's involved in that sort of scene. Dave obviously is. Paul Kenneth from earlier on, he is as well. He's a friend of mine as well. So they all do the BKB stuff. Now, in a way, I guess you don't really need to do that now, do you?
I don't know.
No.
51 years old, too old.
Too old, yeah.
When I was doing it, I was quite fit.
Yeah.
I was very fit.
Mm.
More cardio than... I mean, like, I'm 6 foot one, and I weighed... What was I? I was going out of my head, sorry. I think I was roughly about 117 kilos.
So what's that? Probably about...
I was 6% body fat.
17 stone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was 6% body fat.
Right. So that was a bit handy as well for being at boxing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that is a completely different game.
It is a different game to normal boxing. I used to spar, obviously, with gloves.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. When I was sparring at Peacock's Gym in East London.
Did that help you with discipline?
Yeah, it did. And it helped me a lot with coping strategies.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, definitely.
Keep your head nice and tuned.
Mm.
And there was always something to focus on.
Yeah, definitely.
Just the trouble, like, with my problems or issues, whatever you want to call them, really, sometimes my mind will just wander off. I just drift off and then come back again. But I'll probably miss out half the conversation. Not intentional.
No, I'm with you.
No, these things just sort of like, you know, just lose it for a split second.
Have they given you any, there's a reason I'm asking this, but I'll do it after we're playing another record, but is there a reason why that happens? Is it a neurological problem?
Don't know.
Alright, okay.
Just part of my part of my illness.
Yeah, definitely. So let's very quickly go back to you. We're going to play Fleetwood Mac in a minute. All right. So now you, I'm calling you. Why is that? Because I'm like, you.
Elaine.
You. The strength you must have, not because of Paul, but because of how you've maintained yourself all this time. Yeah. And continue to do so, and Paul is like cementing it like behind you, isn't he, really?
Yes.
Yeah, do you think so?
Yes, I 100% agree with you.
Yeah, so what makes you be like that?
So I've always been a mentally strong person.
Yeah.
And always had a positive outlook on life.
Yeah.
And I've always, I had a troubled childhood, but I've always looked at the people around me as someone I don't want to be like, instead of like, I might end up like them. I was like, I don't want to be like them. So it's always pushed me to do the right thing.
Yeah.
The opposite of bad.
The bad thing. Yeah. Do you work or anything like that?
I'm volunteering at the moment to get experience with my local council.
Right, okay.
So hopefully, in the future. So
what is that in, like housing?
So that is in social care.
Social care, fantastic. There's not enough of those around, and some of those that are around there. On the experience I know with people I know, they're about as much use as a chocolate fire engine. Seriously, they are honestly, they're doing their job, but it's all protocol. No empathy with people.
So with my volunteering, I have great empathy for mental health, and I bring a different perspective to things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, right, let's just play this one. I think we might have a bit of a break there. And then, strangely enough, we talked about this earlier, but I've got a lovely, lovely song, My Love Affair. You know, one, Everlasting Love. That's you two, isn't it? Yeah? Play that one a bit later and see. You think I'm playing this show? No, I don't.